Thank you, Lord. Wasn't that sweet? It's what a wonderful place we get to go when we go into His presence. Say this with me. Say, Father, You are everything to me. You are all that I need. You satisfy me. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Thank You, Father. It's just real strong on my heart to keep encouraging us to learn to walk as family. I think it'll take years and years to clean up the junk that's been in us. You know, I've learned more about God's love from my mama than I have from any preacher. You know, preachers are the ones who told me that if you had a bad thought, I heard it preached for years, you can come to church all your life and tithe and be faithful, but if you leave this church and get angry and have an angry thought at someone and die in a car wreck, you're going to go to hell. And yeah, I realized that those type of preachers probably didn't have a good mama, is all. So I learned from my mama how much a person could love you, even while you're struggling and failing, even while you're learning and growing. My son, Harrison, you know, we call him Harrison, because he doesn't catch it the first time. It's always Harrison. Stop that, Harrison. It's getting so bad we have to rechange things, because I think now he knows on the second Harrison is when he listens. We're like, okay, let's refocus here. But you know, he's a boy. I expect him to make mistakes and get in trouble. And you know, we had a little birthday present for him with all kinds of colors and this weekend, and we left him alone in his room for an hour, and we come out, and he had taken all the colors and poured it into, and he's trying to do it by himself. So it was a 3-hour cleanup job on the carpet. And you know, you chalk that up as that's a 6-year-old boy. Well, listen, why are you any different? You know, we have this idea that we're supposed to be perfect. The day we're born again, we're supposed to be busy being used of God. Where's my calling? Where's my place? We're missing out on the best part, and that is being fathered and learning as you go and making mistakes and not being rejected because you make mistakes. And I have a deep concern in my heart for the body of Christ, including us here. A deep concern that the body of Christ was going to live their whole generation and miss out on the most beautiful part of this walk, and that is having a father to walk with you and to encourage you and to supply you and to support you. We have an orphan mentality that we're orphans. I'm deeply concerned that we have such a system of organization in our body of Christ that we have man ruling over man. And unless you're ruled over, you don't feel safe. And it stunted us. I was so stunted. I was uncomfortable becoming myself unless I had someone tell me it was okay. See, inside of you is a calling. inside of you is a calling that fits into the family of God that makes you just as valuable as Pastor Dave Roberson is to this move. But if you don't grow and you wait for someone to tell you to do it, you're going to miss out. Well, I can't preach. What good am I? I can't sing. What good am I? I was wanting to preach about the tree again. I want to roll with my tree, so. But there's such a concern on my heart right now. There's a heaviness right here. You are not second class in His kingdom. You're just different. It is so important that you find Him, that you discover Him. It is so important that you discover yourself. See, we've been trained to wait for instructions. Now, let me just say this. There is authority that is important in any group. I'm the father of my house. And my wife and my son. Every time I remember I'd leave the house and to come to early service, Christy brings the kids for the second service. I'll say, now Harrison, you take care of the house. You're the man of the house now. And he'll smile. And I'll say, does that mean I'm in charge? Then I hear Christy yell from the background, no. You can't wait to the day he's in charge. You know. There is order. Okay, order is not control. Order is order. When I go to your house, I submit to the order of your home. If I come to your house to minister to you and your TV's on, I don't shut it off. It's not my place. I don't rearrange your furniture. That's your house. In your house, I submit to the order you have. If you come to my house, I don't expect you to boss my wife around. You can try, but you won't last long. See, there's order. Order's okay when you're the owner of the house. That's not control. Control does not come from positions. It comes from personalities. I'll say that again. That was good. Control does not come from positions. It comes from personalities. So order. And why I'm saying this is because as we learn to grow in a family, I came out of a system of organization that was built with personalities who used the organization to control me. But we're not to be a bunch of free-shooting rebels running around. We're to be a family in order. Side by side, jointly knit together. See? So order is okay. Order is important. Control doesn't come from positions of authority. See? It comes from personalities who want to tell you what to do. In my life, I have a responsibility for me, my wife, my children, first. And then for the people that God has placed beside me and with me. I have a responsibility towards them. I don't have a responsibility for you. What I mean by that, you have to grow and find your place. See, in my life, I'm going to make sure that I fulfill the call of God in my life. And that my wife gets to fulfill her call. I got a wonderful wife who's allowed me to follow God. See, I'm responsible to help her to fulfill her calling. I got two children I've got to help raise right. And the ones that God has placed with us, I have a responsibility to see us grow. But I can't go into your house and start telling you what to do. It's not my job. The only way we'll ever get to be family is if we grow up and be confident in who we are. That no man can stop what God has for you. You can't blame man for stopping what God has for you. I'll say that again. You cannot blame man for stopping you from being promoted by God. Most of the complaints that came out of my mouth in the past were towards people of authority. Because God wasn't promoting me, I wanted man to promote me. And so when they didn't promote me, I complained about them. And really, the culprit was God the whole time. When someone comes up and tries to rule over you, there's a self-exaltation that is part of the system that this generation has let church become. Self-exaltation is intertwined in everything and almost everything that's being done. Self-exaltation for money, self-exaltation for position, self-exaltation for glory, you know. Why can't we find a pure family? Why can't we find a pure family where someone walks into it and finds love and safety? And finds the love of God there. That's our job. Can I tell you that? I don't know if I have the right to tell you that. I'll make Pastor Dave tell you that next service. More than revival. More important than revival and miracles is for the world to see a family that walks side by side, peaceful together. That is more important. And that means that you and I have a responsibility. That we're not allowed to hide behind Pastor Dave praying in revival. Oh, now I'm going to get in trouble. I'm just doing my prayer time and believing God will come out and revival will break out one day. Hallelujah. You know what that means? You know what's speaking to you there? That you're second class. You are second class. That indoctrination of generations of control is in you that says you have to wait until someone else gets it. See, you're as much a part of revival as anyone else. And your job isn't to help pray in revival. Your job and my job is to pray ourselves to a place to where we're doing what we're called to do. Let me keep going. Finding out what you're supposed to do comes with prayer, but also with practice, with participation. I remember when I was so intimidated. You'd be amazed how reserved and intimidated I was as a child. And I remember getting so mad because I'd be in a group of people and be uncomfortable, and they'd be telling jokes, and I'd have a really good joke, but I'd be too embarrassed to share it because I didn't know how they would respond. So I'd just keep it in myself. I was like trapped in myself. And I remember saying to myself, that's it. From now on, if I ever feel that intimidation again, I'm going to go face it. I'm going to make myself go do it. And so there'd be a group of people over here, all cool looking, hanging out, and I'd feel a wave of intimidation hit me. So I'd have to go walk over there and just stand in the middle of them and say hi. And I remember asking God, Lord, give me boldness. Lord, please give me boldness. Let me have boldness from heaven. I confess I have boldness. But every time I felt intimidated, I had the same feeling of being inferior. And God, give me boldness. I call myself bold in Jesus' name. And see, what I was waiting for was God to give me something. To get rid of all of my, I just expected all of a sudden I wouldn't be intimidated anymore. But that's not how it works. Boldness doesn't come here when you're praying. Boldness comes here when you take your step. I'll say that again. That was good preaching. Let me do it up here so everyone can see. Boldness does not come here when you're praying. Boldness comes when you take the step and believe that you have received what He's given to you. So what's on your heart? What's in you? Some of you are called to preach. Preaching is a skill you have to practice. It just doesn't come, well, some people it comes naturally. For me, it doesn't. I have to get out there and do it. And by practice, I'm still trying to get better at it. See, what I don't like in my life is when people come up and try to control me. And I've had people try to control me with money. I've had people try to control me with prophesying, with words. But I love it when I get a word from someone who's not trying to control me. I love it when people minister without control. If you have been praying and seeking God, then maybe it's time you start to participate and practice. What's on your heart to do? If you only knew how valuable you were to His kingdom and how important it is for you to find your place, you would never feel second class. When I first moved here to the prayer center, I swear it took me probably 4 years, maybe even longer, before my heart began to trust that someone actually loved me without wanting something from me. My heart was so trained by religion. And I'm not talking about old time religion where they have crosses and, you know, drink real wine at communion. I'm talking about 20th century changed world religion, because it's just as religious. I was trained by religion to be a servant instead of a son. See? And it took me probably 4 years before my heart figured it out. Of being in a place like this, where I couldn't get Pastor Dave or Tim or Gary to control me. I had been so trained that I felt safe under control. I felt safer under control than I did to be on my own. Are you hearing me? That was religion in me. That was roots of Satan's devices to stop me from fulfilling my calling. And those roots run through a generation of the body of Christ today. I didn't feel safe without someone over top of me. And that's why when someone who has an agenda to control, they want to prophesy to you, they want to give you a word, they want to be your instructor. See, you can be drawn to that because there's a lying doctrine in you that tells you you can't hear God well enough on your own. You're part of a family. We should act like it. You should be there for one another. You should give of yourself. See, it took years for me, for my heart to open up and to actually believe that it was okay to be me. To be safe in my place in the body. To feel just as valuable sweeping the floor as I do preaching. There is a presence of healing here. Well, I think it's a stronger. It's the presence of deliverance here today. We have to become family if we're ever going to teach the world to become family. Otherwise, we'll draw the whole world in with miracles and not really allow them to grow much beyond that. And that doesn't come from the pulpit. That won't come from the pulpit. That comes from you and me in our chairs deciding that I want to become who God's called me to be. I've been blessed to be part of some large worldwide organizations. I was trained early on to be a mega church pastor. And I was blessed, actually, in one way. You know, I was 18 years old when I first started serving God, and they told me you can lay hands on the sick and they'd recover, so I tried it. I remember one time we had a a Jehovah Witness guy come to our door. His name was Bernard. I'll never forget. And he was the junior. His wife was the senior. The junior is the one that always talks to you, and the professional is the one behind them. And so they knocked on our door, and he said, "Are you Alan?" I said, "Yes." He said, "We came here earlier and talked to your mom, and she said we need to talk to you." Oh, my mom. So I invited him in, and they began to talk to me, and Bernard stuttered. And he said, "You know, do you believe in peace?" "Yes." "Well, then, do you agree with war?" I said, "Well, I suppose." "Well, then, you don't know God, because if you..." And they had this whole message, and every verse I brought up, he opened up the back of his Bible, and he had all the answers for everything I said. And I got so frustrated, I said, "All right." Because he was really, you know, eating my lunch really bad. I was getting whooped. And I said, "That's it." So I'll tell you what, Bernard, I said, "I'm going to pray for you right now that Jesus is going to heal your stuttering. And when he does, right here, right now, heal your stuttering. That'll prove to you I'm right and you're wrong." I said, "Now, lift up your hands." They said, "Oh, no, no." And they ran out of my house. Didn't let me pray for him. He came back a while later, but I had gone to the bookstore and got a book on witnessing to Jehovah Witnesses. So we sat down one day. I'd say a question. He'd go to the back of his book. I go to my book. Like having a chess match, you know. He said, "That's not fair. You have a book." I said, "You got a book? What do you mean it's not fair?" But my first miracle, when I was 18 years old, I had a guy at work who was deaf in his one ear. I think it was his right ear. And I thought, well, they said just pray for people. So I said, "Be healed in Jesus' name." And he fell out. It's like, man, get up. Can't fall out here. But he got up and his ear was completely healed. And I started to see anointing show up. And I was promoted quickly into ministry. But I was really frustrated because, you know, 18 and 19, I knew I was very dysfunctional. And I lacked in a lot of character. And see, people respected me for my anointing, but they didn't respect me for my character. And that became my goal in life, was to be as respected for my character as I was for the anointing. I probably change that a little bit now and say, respect me for my love as much as the anointing. And we have in our churches today an ambition for anointing and miracles. And I believe that mostly it's because we have forgotten to pursue love and maturity. And in any family, every mother and father will tell you the most important thing their kid could do is to be mature and not what they do for you. See? You and I are part of a family. We may be part of an oddball family. I understand that. But we're part of a family. I don't know how to say this anymore. It is important on the heart of God that you and I learn how to be family as much as we learn how to walk in power. Because I watch too many preachers hide behind walking in power so they didn't have to deal with themselves. Hide behind prophesying. I have seen the world biggest preachers act like silly, I remember one preacher, world-renowned preacher. It's on TV all across the nation. I remember listening to him and thinking, man, this person, they're teaching weird stuff. And I thought, how do I know this? And they don't. Because if you pray in tongues, that's what happens to you. And I remember one service, they said, oh, the glory's here right now, the glory. And this person said, oh, there's an angel right here. There's something here, right here in this spot. Ooh, there's an angel here. Oh, I can't move my foot from there. And they began to act up a little bit, and then the people ran to that spot and started falling around, and another of them came in and taught you need to lament and mourn and weep. If you want to see God move in your life, you have to lament and mourn and weep. So come up to the altar and lament and mourn and weep with me. So the altar filled out with people. I don't know how you weep when you don't feel like it, you know. How do you mourn when you don't have it in your heart? One time a lady came in, she taught that this is my first year in Bible college. So the pastor and his wife and the director and the dean of students all left for 1 week to go on different vacations on the same week. And they handed over the school to a teacher who they used to trust wholeheartedly. But they didn't know over the last few years this teacher started getting a little bit weird. So they let her teach us for the whole week. And she began to teach how you have to get God's attentions with flags. So that week we all cut out flags. And how when Jesus went up like a whirlwind, went up into heaven, it was like a whirlwind. And I mean, they used Greek words to, you know, describe things. It was descriptive, but then she paired that with other things like, so if you want to get free from demons, you have to spin and you have to dance. And we marched, that woman marched us around the church and around the church parking lot for the week, and everyone made flags and it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. Because the next Sunday, this woman had left. The next Sunday, the pastor's back, has been gone for a week, and his wife, and the dean of the school and the director of the school are sitting on the stage. They've been gone for the whole week. They left with a typical church. And then as soon as praise and worship started, all these flags popped up. We had people doing ballet dances across the front. And people started marching, flags flowing back and forth, and you should have seen when the Bible college director stood up and looked, was trying, what is going on? What happened to our church? You know, they came in and made us hand in all our notes. Yeah, it was. But see, you take someone who says, you want more of God, you have to perform to get him to come. And there's something in you that wants God so bad that you will do it. But it's not going to get you there. Our soul will always seek after the easiest path to get to God. That's why there's such a shallowness in relationship with God and relationship with each other in the body of Christ. We should be as respected in this upcoming revival for the anointing and the miracles, but we should be as respected for the love that we walk in for one another, that we refuse to rule over you, to let you exalt us. See, if I have a gift of, say, giving words of knowledge to someone, I can do it two ways. I remember there was a guy who taught me how to walk in, how to pray for people a lot. He's very flamboyant. And he had come to a couple conferences for us every year, and I was the MC for all the conferences. And so he would always bring me down. He'd have a prayer line, and he'd call people out, and he'd say, "Now you over there, just dance, turn a little spin around. There it is, there it is." And they'd fall out. And he'd have them do like a shuffle to the left, shuffle to the right, you know. And there it is, there it is, bam. And people would fall out, and whole crowds would fall out. And it was really fun, you know, watching the services. But he would grab me every service. He'd have a prayer line saying, "Alan, come here. Now you pray for him." He'd stand on stage, and he'd say, "Now you pray for him." And he's the one that taught me how to release the anointing. He's the one that taught me that the anointing is like water. You can throw it on people when you have it, and they can receive it because you threw it. And I learned a lot from him, but you know, he'd say, "Now pray for this one. Now just skip over that one, and you know, that one's not receiving, so just pass them. Don't waste your time with them." And you know, I always still waste my time with them, but you know, it was the way, and it wasn't long. I was having as many miracles as he had in my services, but it was flowing different. Because I tried for a while. I tried to be all hip and cool, but I'm just not that hip and cool, you know. And the Lord told me, said, "That's not, when that anointing's on you, it's up to you how you distribute it. It's not God using him because he's that way. That's how he chose to distribute the anointing." And that's what the Lord told me, is it's up to you how you do it. You can pretend there's a spot here that's extra special because an angel stood here and watched people receive, but it's all how you distribute it. Because people really need, people are so hungry. Listen to me. The body of Christ is starving for a real relationship with God. The body of Christ is starving. They're starving for God's approval on them, for God to just acknowledge them. And it's because we have been rooted with religious ideas of who we are. See? And there's a shallowness that's accepted. You want to have God notice your need, then I want you to wrap a $100 bill in it and give it to the offering. Plant that need as a seed. You know, that's damaged the way the world has viewed God for our generation. We don't view him as a father because of that. The body of Christ is starving for God's love. So when you are being used of God, which all of us should be, all of us should be participating in something. All I'm doing is praying. Well, that's okay. Keep praying. But after you've done your prayer time, it's okay to go do something. Just don't let it take away from your prayer time. And you'll find out as you do things what you're called to do. That's another message. The real message here is we have to learn to walk side by side and stand up together and to find our place together. And it's been religion that's lied to us that says that what you are called to do is not as important as anyone else's. You're not a preacher. You're not a singer. And let me just stop. Look at me, please. The reason why you feel like that is because too many fivefold ministry people have taken advantage of their position to turn you into second-class people so they can be exalted into someone more important. This is difficult. It's going to be as difficult for the people who are lifted up to come down and walk beside you, as it is for you to come walk beside them. Inside of you is a born again nature, and the scripture calls it a tree. That's what I was going to preach on. Because I saw an image of a tree, now I'm realizing, wow, it's actually in scripture. And from that tree inside of you, your new nature, there is fruit that's going to come that can touch the world, that can touch your family. And your new nature is just as important as mine. Your place in this family is just as important as anyone else's. I want to encourage you to keep praying, to keep walking humbly, to begin to participate. One day we'll get it. One day. That the person who vacuums the floor is just as important as the person who intercedes. The person who preaches. The person who runs camera. That when I spend time in prayer, when I spend time reading the Word, it's not for me to get a message to preach. It's not for me to earn revelation so I can preach it. It's for me to grow into who I am and develop a relationship with my Father, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the apostle. 1 Corinthians 12, he says the apostles are first. But in 1 Corinthians 4, he says they're last. But I want you, if you ever read that, after he names the fivefold ministry, there's a comma, not a period. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't say there's fivefold than everyone else. There's a comma. Governments, diversity of tongues, mystery of helps. All of us are part of the family. And not one calling is more important than the next. It is just as important for you to find your place in this family as it is for Pastor Dave and for me, and to be comfortable, to be content. What a place of maturity when we are content with who we are. Right now there's people in this room and people who listen to me who are changing the world and we don't even know it. There's intercessors here that are moving mountains, probably in your life, and you don't even know it. You wouldn't recognize them as anyone special. That's called maturity. Because my experience with intercessors are always people who try to use their intercession as a place to rule over you. So when I discover there's intercessors in here hiding, I think, wow, I like you. Because you're mature. When someone can actually come up when you're having a rough day and says a little word to you, says you're going to make it when you're having a rough day. Do you understand? That's the best prophecy you could hear right there. And that's all you get from him is love and not, now you need to submit to me because I have a word for you. See, you know how you judge people? Not by how much power they walk in, not by how much word they have, not by how much they can see in the Spirit or their gifting. We should judge people by their maturity and their love. I can sense self-exaltation or control a mile away. Because I lived in it for so long. I've been trained by the masters of it. And in this place I've learned that I don't have to let anyone be over me. than I am responsible for me. And I can't hide behind someone else. Some places they'll tell you who to marry. So one preacher said to this young man, they were a prophet who was known to prophesy who you marry. And they said, now when you go to your home, the next girl that comes through your house is your wife. True story. I thought, you know what I would do? I'd run to my home. I'd be peeking out the window. Be calling all the girls I like. Hey, come on over quick. Some girl I wouldn't like knocking on the door. I'd be like, nobody's home. Hold on, wait, wait. Someone else is coming over. Hold on. There's so much self-exaltation that has been accepted in the body of Christ. Man ruling over man. I love this place. I love this family that I'm in here. I didn't like it at first because it was hard to grow up without having someone tell me to do. I didn't feel safe being independent. But I outgrew it. We're supposed to walk side by side. I'm not finished yet. Just a few more moments. Okay, listen to this. And because you've allowed yourself to stay in a place, and because you've allowed yourself to come to a place where you are letting Him make you mature, you have removed the ceiling of your life and have opened up the doors of heaven. Where you will see His blessings fall on you. Thank you, Father. Amen. See you in 30 minutes.